This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
You know, hey, Bob, you know, one of the things that, you know, we've had a couple of guests on in the past on other shows that we've done, talking a little bit about hyperconvergence. And I don't know that it's really been fully explained really well. It's, you know, it's still kind of a buzzword. It's still a mystery. It's still out there. Luckily, we've actually had a great opportunity to talk with Don Frame, who's the brand director for Lenovo North America. So, Don, talk to us a little bit about, and more to the point, demystify a little bit for us, what is hyperconvergence and what does Lenovo have going on in that space?
Yeah, you know, hyperconvergence is, I guess, the newest buzzword in the IT industry, which some people don't know what it means because it is just that. It's a buzzword. It's like something that somebody made up. Honestly, what I call it is software-defined convergence. And let me explain that or give you an analogy that may help explain it.
Okay.
Today's traditional, or I guess, you know, in the past, the traditional data center infrastructure has been set up into multiple tiers of things that are unique and you know, different. There's servers, there's storage, there's networking, there's the way to virtualize your servers and manage it. But it's all separate tiers of infrastructure, if you will.
Which I think everybody in IT is familiar with, you know, that sort of layout and diagram.
Right. It's always been the way it's been done. But this hyperconvergence is a way to accomplish the same thing, but do it with a single device. And I'll give you an analogy. In the past, when I first started working in the IT industry, I had what I call the Batman belt, this big utility belt that had all kinds of things on it. I had a phone, I had a separate calendaring device, a Palm Pilot or a PDA type of thing. We had even a pager for a while. I had a separate calculator, separate GPS.
Hey, I had my Palm things. Pilot Pro and my Skynet pager, or Skytel pager, yeah.
By the way, I could never get my Palm Pilot Pro to work, but I thought I needed it, right?
Because had to have it.
Yeah, you had to look like, you know, you had all your devices. But now we still have all those devices. But they've been software defined into a single device. Thank goodness we don't look silly anymore by carrying all these things on our belt. They've been software defined into a single device that we now know as the smartphone.
Very true.
We carry a single device now, and it does all of those things.
Very true. So taking that forward into the data center analogy, how does that then play out there?
So now you have the ability to have on a single, more standardized device. I guess we could call it the server, but I think probably going forward we ought to call it an IT device. But there is this thing that you would probably be more familiar with and say, hey, that looks like a server. But now I apply software to it that, you know, basically software defines into that single device not only the ability to do what the server does, but the ability to do what storage does. And the way it works is I take multiple common devices. Usually you have three or more, so you create a cluster, if you will. You need three or more so you can have the ability to have high availability. But I put software on it, and what it does is it clusters them all together into a common environment. And it goes and it finds all the CPUs, and it says I can utilize all these CPUs together. Importantly, probably the biggest part of it is it finds all the hard drives or the flash or the SSD that's in each of those servers and puts them into a common pool of storage. So what I've just done is done a software-defined SAN, storage area network. I pull all those storage devices together, and I've just created a SAN without having to buy an expensive, proprietary, separate piece of equipment, which is your traditional storage array.
So it's not only going to make the IT guys happy, it's also going to make the CFO happy.
Yeah, it'll make the procurement guy happy for sure. make it much more simple. That's a good point. It makes your CFO pretty happy. It makes your CTO pretty happy because it's a strategic way for them to survive the explosion on the front end that we're creating because of all the devices and applications and things that we're doing to put so much pressure on the back end. It makes it, to your point, makes it simple to buy. Now, to the IT folks on the back end, make it simple to deploy. How about learn how to deploy one thing? How about learn how to manage one thing? How about learn how to support one, you know, physical thing, but software defines it so it can do compute and storage at the same time.
So what does that do to the team that used to be have a network guy, a storage guy, a server guy, a software guy? Do they all become Voltron and become one, or do they each maintain their own roles?
Yeah, that's a great question. So let me first start off with some data, and then I'll come back and answer your question. If you look at any analysis from, say, Gartner, IDC, or any of the others, and I'll just give you an IDC analysis that was done. They surveyed, worldwide survey to IT directors and say, tell me how you spend your IT budget. What it came back to find from that survey is about 70 to 80% of companies spend about that much budget, about up to 80% of their annual IT budget on just keeping what they have running. Because it is so complex. I have multiple teams. I got all these tiers of infrastructure to not only deploy but also keep up and running. I'm spending most of my budget just keeping the lights on. That leaves a small amount left for new projects or innovation, and it's going to be important to innovate and transform your data center if you want to be a viable company in the future. Now, what it means to that IT staff specifically, and some of them, you know, don't like the way this sounds because it feels like them, hey, you don't need a specialist storage administrator anymore. Well, you know, that's true, but it doesn't mean that we don't need them and their skills. What it means is now we can take the people that have specialist abilities and now redirect them to innovation in the data center, start thinking ahead strategically instead of spending a lot of money on their talent just to keep things up and running.
Are the lights blinking? Are the lights blinking? Are the lights blinking?
Yeah, right, exactly.
All right. Well, hey, I'll tell you what. I know we've got we didn't want to take up too much of your time. So where can people find out more about Lenovo and hyperconvergence? I'm assuming the Lenovo website, perhaps?
Yeah, you can go to our Lenovo website directly. For any of our business partners out there, we have a special page, lenovopartnernetwork.com/HX. Our Lenovo converged system is called our Lenovo HX. So go to LenovoPartnerNetwork.com/HX or go to Lenovo.com and you can find more information.
Sounds good. I know we've got we're going to go ahead and talk to you about a couple more things. But, hey, Don, a brand director for Lenovo North America, thanks so much for taking a few minutes and talking with us. And we'll catch up with you again in just a few.
I appreciate it. Look forward to talking to you in the future.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
So, hey, Bob, one of the other topics we've talked about a little bit. I came up with one of our guests before, and I know even I got a little bit of a 1,000-meter stare on this one. Virtual desktop infrastructure. It's out there. It's a thing. I've heard it in conjunction with healthcare. So the good news is we've got Don Frame here, brand director, Lenovo North America. Lenovo's doing some really neat stuff with VDI. So, Don, if you don't mind, take a couple minutes and explain for us what this whole virtual desktop infrastructure thing is and how it's being applied today.
Yeah, absolutely. I appreciate it. Virtual desktop infrastructure is the ability to be able to centrally manage and control a full infrastructure centrally and then be able to deploy to an end user through a very simple, inexpensive device, their workstation or their work platform. The advantages are kind of clear. Is it's easy to deploy the endpoint to the end user versus the old way, which you image a system and then give that to them. Lord, forgive if something happens to it. It's very complex to go resolve
yeah.
it. I can do all that centrally from a single location now. I can deploy it out there. I can control it. I can manage it. I can ensure the security profiles are kept. And again, what's out there with the end user, what they're using, what they're touching is very inexpensive device.
Now, how does this differ, Don? Or I guess technology has to have changed from 20 years ago when we were using thin client devices. What are some of the advances in technology that are doing that are that VDI is doing today that thin client couldn't do then?
That's a really good question. You know, back in the days you're talking about, it's really what we would call green screen. You know, I could do very simple banking systems where, you know, they're doing simple things in what we call a green screen, one simple specific thing that they're doing or use case. Now where we've progressed to is now you can actually do, you know, a full, you know, workload or use case things on that endpoint, not just one thing. You can do multiple things like your line of business applications, the things that you interface with every day. You can do email, collaboration, database. You can even get to the we're getting to the point now where we can do richer things like graphical type of enablement on the endpoint, where in the back you didn't have enough horsepower or enough bandwidth to be able to deliver any type of advanced kind of you know, rich graphical experience. You can do that now where this is going. And then the other big change that's happened since then, and we talked about this before in one of our previous chats, was this whole notion of hyperconvergence, the software-defined converged platform. Well, guess what? That is a perfect infrastructure for VDI. Now, you know, in the old times, VDI, the front end was inexpensive. The back end was very costly because you had to set up your multiple-tier infrastructure to operate it. Now in the back end, I can just do a hyperconverge, or what, you know, I call a software-defined convergence platform. And now I've just reduced the expense of the back end, and I still, you know, have that small expense on the front end, but still have all the attributes. Central management, easy to deploy, and you have total control of your security.
So, I mean, it really, again, you know, much like hyperconvergence, it sounds like VDI is there to simplify, you know, your basic business operations and processes and make it less of a hassle day to day for people.
It certainly simplifies it, makes it faster, makes, you know, just think about new employees coming on, or say you want to quickly grow your employee base. What if you're, you know, a small business and today you have 100 employees and tomorrow 100 new employees are going to come on? Are you going to sit there and image separate systems for them, or do you just simply put up an endpoint and deploy them their virtual image remotely and do it in a matter of seconds per person? You know, just think about
that's amazing.
Being able to scale and grow. Yeah.
So, Donald, where do we go find more information out there about specifically what Lenovo has going on in the data center operation space?
Well, it's really easy. Go to one URL. Go to www.lenovo.com/datacenter. Pretty straightforward, and you'll get information on what we're doing to innovate and, you know, what we're doing to kind of have that integrated data center.
All right, so hey, Don, again, thanks. I you know, that's virtual desktop infrastructure. Really good explanation, really good chat. I'm looking forward to talking with you more about other topics as they come up. So hey, this is Bob and Dave. We were just talking with Don Frame, the brand director for Lenovo North America, and we'll be back in just a few.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
We're hanging out with Don Frame. He's the brand director for North America for Lenovo. And we're hearing all these things about Lenovo has an innovation center. And basically, it's almost like building prototypes like a concept car 10 years out. Now, when we sit here and talk, we always talk about Minority Report, right, the movie. And we can't believe things that in that movie are already coming true. What are some things being worked on in the Innovation Center, and how is it relative to any movies coming out in the future, just to tie that back?
Well, and how do you, you know, and how do you make that bridge between, you know, Lenovo, people typically think of, you know, a laptop or software in the data center. You know, what are you doing building concept cars?
Yeah, that's a good question. Now, let me address your last part first, because if you think about Lenovo, you know, we have always had a culture of innovation. You know, we started, this was, you know, an IBM business that we bought. They innovated and created the first ever laptop. The parent company, Lenovo, was also an innovator of lots of different technology. We've come together, and that culture has not only survived but actually grown. And if you even look what, you know, we're doing in the PC side, you know, who thought you could continue to innovate in PCs? But we've done it. We figured out how to have strength and lightweight things at the same time. You think about our X1 Carbon line, where we have
that's my laptop
strong Yeah, right. Super strong materials, but light, much lighter than a aluminum-based laptop, for example, from some of our competitors. So innovation and is still there. We've innovated with roll cages in our products, what we call roll cage, magnesium composite type of tray that the motherboard sit on. So when you walk around and carry your laptop by the edge, it doesn't bend and break stuff. So innovation is rich here. Now, with our data center products, you know, innovation is key to the future because devices continue to proliferate at a high rate. And devices are not just the things that we know we have in front of us today. And by the way, I bet everybody listening to this has multiple devices with them. But the devices that we think about today, PCs, tablets, smartphones, in the future, devices are going to be just all around us. It's going to be the connected home, the smart cars. It's going to be road sensors, weather sensors. There's going to be sensors everywhere collecting data. Those are all enabled, or they conversely say don't do a darn thing unless they're connected to some type of infrastructure in the back end. So we understand that, and a lot of our focus on innovation is around enabling and actually delivering an automated, dynamic, software-defined data center. So we're doing a lot of things to disaggregate hardware from software and be able to have software then dynamically control all of the assets that's available to it in infrastructure and use those as it sees fit to bring up and find and automatically move workloads from one thing to another to dynamically control utilization. Or think about the ability to be able to have a self-service portal. You want a new service from your IT department? Forget calling them up. And they tell you, okay, you can have it. It's going to be this much money, and I'll give it to you nine months later. You know, forget that. We can talk about self-service portals where you as an IT consumer can request a new service.
And they can tell you no right away.
What's that?
I said, and they can tell you no right away.
Yeah, typically that's an easy way to do it, to say no. But
right.
In the future, it's going to go dynamically look at – it wants to see the hardware as a pool of resource, basically, and dynamically find resources underutilized, automatically spin up a new virtual machine on it, automatically install the OS and give in that application, then give you that service in a matter of minutes. That's a lot of our focus on what we call our stick. The Systems Technology Innovation Center.
Interesting.
So, obviously you remember what data centers looked like 20 years ago, 10 years ago. What does Lenovo see as a data center looking like 10 years from now? Is it going to be a drastic change, or is it going to be basically fit in one closet, or is everything going to be shared?
Well, certainly you talk about fitting in one closet. Certainly density is going to be a big subject because, you know, the biggest, hardest thing to do in any type of data center is expand your infrastructure. And it's the building and the power. By the way, the stuff inside of it is not where you're spending the most money in the future. So, yeah, absolutely driving density. We're working closely with Intel to integrate, more denser type of technology into the, you know, I guess what you would consider a server today. Tomorrow, I don't know if it's a server or if it's really an IT device. That software then customizes that single common device to be multiple things. You know, today you have physically different proprietary pieces of hardware in your data center. I think tomorrow the things can look identical. Software is applied, gives it a different personality. Ultimately, everything in the data center may look identical, but the software is applied and given it the personality that you need based on the workloads that you have today. And then when your workload changes tomorrow, I can dynamically reallocate and use the same hardware and then be up and running without, forget 9-12 months of re-architecting and bringing in new stuff.
See, that's going to drive the trolls crazy because the trolls that's my row of app server boxes, that's my row of database boxes, that's my row, and but it sounds like a phenomenal idea because it does. I mean, it lets you reconfigure and rebuild things on the fly. It's such a powerful thing because we all have. There's not a data center out there that doesn't have boxes sitting idle that were for an app that you that went out for a year and then is gone. So, I mean, that's very, very cool stuff.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that we reduce IT resources. What it does is we take the IT resources that we have, the smart people that we have, and we reclassify them for innovation in the data center versus just sitting there maintaining that old common stuff that they've been doing forever. Why you know, have smart people doing that. Let's have them innovating in the data center to actually transform it. So now a company's data center can be a business growth engine, not just something they got to have there to do email.
Very cool. So, I mean, is there somewhere on the Lenovo site where people can learn a little bit more about this innovation center and what you guys have going on?
Yeah, I would encourage you to go to our website at lenovo.com/solutions or solutions.lenovo.com to learn more of what we're doing, because our focus on solutions is really delivering the end result. We want to make the infrastructure invisible in the future. The end result is, what does it do for you? What does it do for you for research? What does it do for you for driving healthcare solutions and innovation? So what is it actually delivering at the end of the day? We are going to underpin those solutions, but almost make the infrastructure, I would say, I would call it invisible. So we're going to make it so, you know, it's there all the time, just like you think of energy today. You go in, you walk in the room, you flick the light switch, and the energy, it comes on. You don't think about how it gets there. We want to make it that prevalent, that it's there. It's all the time is there, and it can be reconstructed as you need. But we just think that's a revolutionary way to think about infrastructure.
Very cool. So, Donald, where do we go find more information out there about specifically what Lenovo has going on in the data center operation space?
Well, it's really easy. Go to one URL. Go to www.lenovo.com/data center. Pretty straightforward, and you'll get information on what we're doing to innovate and, you know, what we're doing to kind of have that integrated data center.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
What's doing?
Well, yeah. So thanks for talking with me. Yeah, it's Lenovo has a bunch of stuff going on. Probably the best place to start is kind of where Lenovo comes from, or at least on the data center side. About 18 months ago, Lenovo bought IBM's System X division. So those of you who know much about IBM products and brands and stuff like that, all those brands came over, and, you know, Blade Center, you probably heard those terms before, Blade Center,
oh, yeah.
X-Series, Dataplex, NextScale, Flex. All these are brands of servers that, you know, proliferate throughout the country and throughout the industry, throughout the world, Jesus. And Lenovo picked those up, and all the processes around it. So, and part of that was an HPC group, which I was part of. And so one of the things that we do that makes us unique and I think helps customers is that we build systems, HPC systems, high-performance computing systems. We'll build, you know, non-HPC systems too, and around the rack level. So a lot of times people deploy data centers today, you know, by the rack or by the large number of servers. I mean, it's
right.
Really a, you know, becoming a, you know, business where scale really gets you stuff. You know, you want to put a data center in, you want it to be efficient, and you buy stuff by the rack. And we have a group, it's called Intelligent Cluster Group, and we build racks of equipment. So you tell us what you want. You want it very dense, we'll do it with NextScale, which is, double density, two servers in one U. And all the way up to, you want, you know, big servers, lots of memory, you want switches, you want Juniper switches, or you want Lenovo switches, or you want Cisco, you name it, we'll put it in there. You want certain storage, we'll put that in there. And then we'll ship the racks, you know, say it's a 5-rack solution, and then we'll ship them to the data center and install them by the rack.
Interesting.
Hook them up, do the networking, et cetera. And usually these are, you know, bigger deals from my standpoint, bigger deals. A lot of times people are used to talking about, you know, one or two servers or five servers, or do a big virtualization and it's, you know, maybe five servers or something. This is usually, you know, 10 to 100 servers. Sometimes up to 500 servers is probably a decent size cluster nowadays, an HPC cluster.
Interesting.
And so you'll see many racks.
So what I've read and what I've been reading and what I've heard is, so I mean, it seems like this is really key and kind of big in areas like research, you know, education, healthcare. You know, I've read a lot about it in conjunction with things like cancer research. So I mean, like, what kind of industries are out there that ought to be paying attention to this from, you know, that ought to be calling Lenovo?
Yeah, it's funny. It's consistent across several industries where you see it over and over again. One of the biggest areas, or one of the most interesting areas we're seeing it, is in education or higher ed. But that crosses multiple areas of those disciplines you just mentioned. So medical or healthcare is in higher ed. Research is in higher ed. Chemistry, physics. A lot of times you'll see some seismic work, seismic being both earthquake and oil and gas.
Ah.
So especially in like the Texas universities, you'll see some of that. But you know, like for example, in Colorado, and you know, I believe the University of Colorado also is near NCAR, and they do a lot of that's National Center for Atmospheric Research. They do a lot of climatology, weather modeling, stuff like that. But so there's a lot of applications that use HPC, and because the higher ed groups contain the smart people, you know, the people with the PhDs in this that write the apps and do the research, you wind up selling a lot of HPC in universities, higher ed, research institutions, healthcare institutions. There's a lot of healthcare research, and there's a lot of bioinformatics stuff going on too, where people try and do work with DNA sequencing, et cetera. But a lot of times it's centered around universities. So it's interesting. That's probably our most interesting market, our fastest growing too.
Very cool. All right. So, hey, if somebody wants to follow up and get some more information about this, where should they be going to?
Well, you can go to Lenovo's website, www.lenovo.com/data center, for a good overview of what's happening in the space.
Very cool. All right, so yeah, we'll make sure we put it in the notes that people should be going out to www.lenovo.com/data center to check things out. Doug, thank you so much for the time. You know, we really, really appreciate these little conversations that we get to have with you guys about what Lenovo has going on. And I look forward to talking to you guys some more later.
Okay, thanks.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
All right, hey, well, this is Dave from IT and the D. I'm sitting here with Tag Robertson, who is the SAP, a Global Alliance Manager. He specializes in big data, business intelligence and analytics. So, Tag, what we wanted to find out from you as far as what Lenovo's doing is, so how is the data center, you know, enabling just unprecedented use of data to drive BI, cost reduction, optimizations? I mean, everything we've heard so far, you know, whether it was chats with Don or Doug or some of the other folks that we've had a chat with, it all seems to be going that way. And they all make reference to and they all make mention of, you know, BI and analytics. So talk to me a little bit more about what Lenovo has going on in that space.
Lenovo has a lot of activities going on focused on BI analytics in the data center. You know, from a product and solution standpoint, you know, we're actually looking to drive change within the data center to enable new capabilities, leverage new technologies, and you know, to be somewhat disruptive. So we have alliances with a number of key partners, you know, SAP being one of those key partners that I happen to work with very closely. And in the data center, for example, SAP traditionally known, you know, with for enterprise applications, ERP, CRM, supply chain management,
right.
Most recently, you know, enterprise applications centered around SAP HANA, you know, their in-memory database.
Right.
And so with SAP, for example, we have, you know, very specific solution offerings for SAP HANA appliance configurations, so we can support customers that have, you know, large data in-memory system requirements, you know, scaling a single system platform from, you know, 2-socket configuration, you know, well, all the way up to an 8-socket, 12-terabyte configuration. And, you know, with the SAP HANA technology, you know, the in-memory database enables customers to load large amounts of data in memory. The in-memory aspect of it, you know, really brings about the real-time analytics that the customers are really desiring. The data is in memory, so you get the optimum performance of the system, so you can do the real-time analytics type operations. And, you know, from a high-level perspective, you know, what it's enabling really is to make, you know, real-time decisions, real-time business decisions based on, you know, actual data, you know, corporate data, enterprise data. And it's enabling new concepts, you know, such as what SAP is describing as, you know, the boardroom of the future. So, you know, the boardroom of the future is really going to be, you know, a top-down view, being able to drill into, you know, the data within the enterprise and you know, get that real-time analytics, you know, perspective of what's going on.
So this more, you know, so I mean, I just want to make sure we get this clear. So I mean, is this more for, you know, say your executive level dashboards or, you know, your operational line managers, you know, looking to, you know, get efficiencies, or is it a little bit across the board?
I would say it's really across the board, depending on how the data is going to be used. So, you know, it is a top-down view, you know, from the executive boardroom perspective. For, you know, the line managers, you know, it's going to be enabling those real-time decisions, shortening the reporting time and being able to turn around key reports so that, you know, they can make, you know, real-time business decision for that day, you know, deciding, you know, what product needs to go where and when and you know, that sort of, you know, decision. You know, managing supply chain and logistics and those types of operational aspects of the business.
Very cool. Very, very good stuff. All right. So, hey, Tag, question for you, though. So give me, and this always helps kind of solidify things in people's minds. Are there any, I know there's always, you know, non-disclosures and all that kind of stuff. Is there a project out there that you could talk about that might show or might, you know, kind of illuminate for, you know, the audience a practical example of what you're talking about here?
Sure. There's one example that I can highlight, and it was actually featured at the SAP TechEd event last October. And you know, we did a project with SAP, Intel, Bluefin, and some other partners. And you know, in that project, the real goal of the project was to, you know, highlight the capabilities of integrating enterprise application data with kind of a big data source, you know, from, in this case, your manufacturing operations, and being able to take that big data source and combine it with the enterprise data to make some real-time manufacturing decisions. And if you look at the keynote where this was demonstrated, you know, this capability really, you know, represents sort of the integration of big data with enterprise application data. And you know, if you look at the details of how it was done, it was really an implementation of SAP HANA Vora, where, you know, we had a 14-node SAP HANA cluster integrated with a data tiering layer and then a Hadoop cluster that pulled in all the unstructured data from manufacturing. And, you know, with the SAP HANA Vora software and the application work that was done by Bluefin, you know, being able to integrate that data and make those real-time, you know, line decisions that that, you know, manufacturing companies have to make, you know, every day, every hour, and in order to, you know, make those decisions to be able to improve yields, efficiencies, and other cost savings, you know, within the business to manage it more effectively.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a lot of what Lenovo has going on across all of these conversations is really twofold. You know, one is, you know, increasing those efficiencies and you know, and getting things, you know, just running better, cleaner, smoother, faster. But then there's also that that second, you know, prong, or that, you know, that second tip, which is trying to make things cheaper and more cost effective too. I mean, it's not a bad double win.
Yes, you're right. Exactly. And you know, Lenovo clearly is, you know, the infrastructure provider. We team with, you know, great partners to pull the whole story together for customers, right? Make it a win for everyone.
Very, very cool. All right. So if people are looking for more information about where, you know, where they can find out more about what Lenovo is going on with business intelligence, you know, BI, analytics and that sort of thing, where can they go?
There are two places they can go on the Lenovo website, www.lenovo.com/datacenter. And the second location is for the SAP specific information, www.lenovo.com/solutions/SAP.
Okay. All right, so yeah, we'll make sure we get those URLs out. I know we've been telling everybody about the www.lenovo.com/datacenter one, but yeah, we'll get that SAP one out there as well. Tag, you know, as always, thanks so much for your time. We really appreciate and enjoy these conversations that we're having with the Lenovo crew about what you guys have going on. And yeah, look forward to talking with you guys more in the future.
You're very welcome. It was great to participate today. Thank you.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show. This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
All right, so hey, this is Dave with the IT in the D Show, sitting here with Doug Barry. Doug is the senior sales rep for high performance computing for Lenovo. Doug, so here's one of the questions that we've talked about on the show. You know, we're always talking about, you know, how to get more out of your infrastructure. So talk to me a little bit. What kind of things are high performance computing enabling companies and organizations to do in the future here?
Well, high-performance computing, we call it HPC, is a, I would call it one of the big application areas for pushing science. And as such, we see a lot of customers buying it, specifically in the research areas or universities, public sector space. We call it public sector. So, and we include, by the way, medical research. And that's one of the hottest areas. So, you know, the DNA sequencing revolution, you might have heard a little bit about in the industry, the falling or collapsing price of sequencing of DNA is just creating huge amounts of data.
Oh, it is. And actually, you know, yeah, I mean, that's a timely topic. You know, we were actually just at the TEDx Detroit conference yesterday, talking with a number of companies and people that were giving TED Talks there, as well as a guest we've recently had in our studio. And it just seems like the medical industry, particularly out here in the Metro Detroit area, is exploding. And that's the, you know, and we hear that same comment from them that, oh, my God, you know, we need so much more computing power to plow through all the data that we've got available now.
Yeah, they're just creating massive data sets. And, of course, you have to have a large amount of compute power, a lot of ability to move data around quickly. And HPC is exactly that. I mean, in essence, what HPC is tailoring the compute power for a workload. And, you know, this is just a perfect example of that. I mean, you have a large data set. You need to do analysis of it, compares and read writes, moving large amounts of data, so it lends itself to fast interconnects, which HPC usually features InfiniBand or high-speed interconnects of Ethernet, like 40 gig or 100 gig Ethernet interconnects.
Right.
OmniPath's a new technology on there, too, that you hear from Intel. So HPC clusters typically are large numbers of computers attached with high-speed interconnect. And of course, high speed storage too, and that's its own revolution going on in storage.
So, I mean, is that kind of the model? I mean, are we talking about a different class of computer, you know, that are being put into the data centers now that, you know, to deal with this sort of thing?
Well, it's funny you say a different class of computer. It's really the same computers, but configured slightly differently. I mean, you want to optimize. Cost is a big concern and performance is a big concern, but you want to optimize the configuration of the computer to tailor it to what the customer wants. In some cases, customers are limited by budget, but they have a huge amount of data to work through. And so they're willing to splurge.
You're saying that there are clients out there that have budgets that don't meet their expectations?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I'm talking about every customer there, but it's true. I mean, you know, you get a lot of times researchers will spend up to a budget, so it's a different. It's funny because you know I used to sell in, you know, more into the corporate side, and people would say, "Hey, I need to do this function. Give me a price." In public sector, it's more of, "Hey, I got this budget, and I need to do all this work. It's more than I can possibly do. Give me everything you got for $1,000,001.
Right.
I mean, that's kind of the way it is. And so we wind up tailoring a system for a budget instead of the other way around, which is, it's just backwards from what you're used to, but that's kind of the way it's done.
Right. So, I mean, I know, you know, I mean, there, you know, there's NDAs and, you know, and client confidentiality, and especially if we're talking about the medical industry, there's HIPAA and all that stuff. But I mean, you know, do you have, you know, an example, maybe like something practical out in the real world that you could talk about, you know, where this is being applied and how this is being used?
Well, yeah, and there's a lot of examples where, you can imagine lots of large institutions, but I'll drive down into, one of our, actually one of our reference accounts at Auburn University. The biology department kind of drove one of their recent cluster purchases, and one professor in particular is studying spiders, and you would think, how the heck is this going to, you know, result in something that benefits mankind? But it's pretty interesting stuff he was doing.
Is he researching new and better ways to kill them?
Yeah, it's funny, but he's doing like genealogy, almost like DNA, how spiders have evolved, and all kinds of spiders. And I think the real, you know, the net of it is coming down to they're trying to find new and different uses for what spiders do. And sometimes, you know, they have venom that does things like stops coagulation of blood.
Yep.
Or causes numbness or is pain killing, as well as things around spider silk.
That the tensile strength of the web. And
Yeah, and so the chemistry and the DNA and all that behind all that is what they're really looking into and trying to find new and different uses for that. And I thought that was just fascinating to hear that they're, you know, they were justifying a multi-million-dollar purchase to do that kind of science. Now, that's not the only thing they're doing on that cluster, but they are. That was one of the things that stuck in my mind that was very interesting.
Interesting. So, I mean, I assume there, you know, there's a whole bunch of stuff going on out there. So I guess talk to me, for those that are looking for a little bit more information, talk to me about, you know, where can people find out more about what you're talking about and maybe some of those other, you know, practical applications that are out there in the real world and how they can apply it to their own business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, call me. you can do that. But we have a website, Lenovo.com/data center. There's a lot of good information on that site. If you were very interested in HPC, I would encourage you to give me or my team a call. We have a lot of any Lenovo rep can get you to us, and we can help you build a system or talk further about how to use a system. That's our job.
All right, very cool. So I just want to make sure I get that out there again. So it's, you know, learn more about what Lenovo servers and data center solutions can do. That's www.lenovo.com/data center. It's www.lenovo.com/data center. And again, Doug Berry, Senior Sales Rep, High Performance Computing for Lenovo. Thanks for taking the time to join us. We really enjoy these chats. Looking forward to talking to you again soon.
Sure. Enjoyed it. Thanks.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show. This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.